happens. If you're taking notes, and I got to lay a foundation before I get into the New Jerusalem, but if you're taking notes, the scriptures declare that there are three heavens. All right, we understand this according to Genesis 1 and 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Everybody doing all right? Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven. I want you to underline that, and the earth. And so we want you to understand that this word heaven in the Greek, in the Hebrew, when it's translated, means dual, meaning more than one. And so inevitably, there are three heavens that we know of today. All right, I'm going to walk you through the scripture so you can get an understanding of that. Let's go to Exodus 20, verse number 4. That's right next door. That rhymes. Exodus 20, verse number 4, right next door. I had a rapping career at one time, Steve, but for some reason I didn't get to go in that. Maybe I was called into another line of work. Exodus 20, chapter number 4 says, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And so we find in the scripture, again, heaven being singular, but when translated, meaning dual, meaning more than one. And so there inevitably there are three heavens. And the first heaven that we know about is the Bible talks about heaven above. And so we have heaven above, then you have the earth realm, which is a form of heaven. When you look at, we're on the earth now, and when we look up towards the sky and things of that nature, the atmosphere, that is a form of heaven. If we look forward, if we look further, we can look even higher, which is a form of heaven, the heavenlies, known as the cosmos, all of the solar systems, and the moon, and the earth, and where all the, not the earth, but the moon, and the stars, and the planets, and space, that is heaven. And then we have the third heaven, which is known as the sea. There is another realm underneath the waters, deep in the sea, known as the heavenly realm. And so we have three basic heavens. Now, I'm going to try to get this a little clear to you. Don't give up on me just yet. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we're going to break this down. Say, break it down, Pastor. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1 through verse number 4. All right, everybody have it. 2 Corinthians verse number chapter number 12, verse number 1 through 4. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. In other words, Paul was saying he didn't know if this was an in the body or an out of body experience. God knoweth. Such and one caught up to the third heaven. Everybody follow me. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, he repeats himself, how that he was caught up into paradise, underline that, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And so this third heaven is where God is, if you will. Now, I believe I taught you in previous lessons that when believers die, they go to heaven. Did I teach you that? I said, when you die, you go to two places. You have two choices. One, both of them start with H-E, and you determine what comes after the rest of that. If you die in the Lord, you die saved, then you go to heaven, which is where God is, the presence of God. If you do not die in the Lord, then you go to hell, where you are in, the Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I taught you that hell was simply a holding tank where you're held until you're brought up out of there before God. in the white throne judgment and judged according to the things you've done, and then you're cast to be in the lake of fire for eternity. And so we understand this, and this heaven, or other words, paradise, as Paul entitles it, is where all believers will stay until the new heaven and the new earth are established. Everybody following me? Now, I want to make sure I give you scriptural examples, so let's go to Luke 23. And we see an example of this in Luke chapter 23, verse number 43, that says, I know you may not be there yet, but I'm kind of moving for the sake of time, but Luke 23:43, very familiar passage of scripture, and Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee today that thou shalt be with me in where? Paradise, all right? And so we see that this is an example of the thief on the cross. There were two thieves on the cross. One died to sin. The other one was died from sin. And Jesus told him that that very day that he would be with him in paradise. And that's what's known as the third heaven. And so those of you that have lost loved ones, am I doing all right? Making it clear to y'all. Those of you that have lost loved ones, they've died in the Lord. I talked about funerals that I've gone to where I know that the person that died, died in the Lord. And it's such a peace, such a rest that you see on that person. And they are in what's known as the third heaven or paradise. And they will remain there with God until the new Jerusalem and the new earth are ready to be revealed. Everybody clear? All right. Praise the Lord. I want to make sure I teach you right. Now, we must understand, if you're writing the notes, take this down. We must understand that in order to enter into paradise, we cannot keep the same body. All right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I want to share some things with you tonight. And then we're going to close. And as we close this out, if we have some time, maybe I'll do some question and answers if you have any questions. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 says, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. All right. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's talking about heaven or talking about paradise. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we all shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so what happens, beloved, when Jesus returns to earth and the event begins known as the rapture of the church, what happens is the Bible say, in the twinkling, in the moment of the eye of an eye, we shall all be changed. And the purpose of that change is a metamorphosis of our natural bodies being changed into a heavenly body. Because this body that we have now, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 49, it's an image of the earthly. It is an earthly body. And because it is an earthly body, this body is what's known as corruptible. Because the Bible says that we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And so this shell that we have is a sinful piece of flesh, if what you know. And we cannot take this same earthly body that we have into paradise, into the kingdom of heaven, to spend eternity with him. And so what God does at the rapture of the church, when he takes the saints off of the earth, immediately we get new what's known as glorified bodies. Everybody understand clearly? All right. So we see this according to verse number 50. It says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so our natural flesh and blood, these natural bodies, cannot go into God's presence Because God said in the scriptures that no flesh shall glory in his presence, and God cannot stand sin. And that's what these bodies are made of. All right? Now, I want us to understand, once we get to heaven, those of you that have loved ones that have gone on and they're in paradise, they're in heaven, they're in the third heaven, what have you, they have already been given this celestial or heavenly body, if you will. And so it is not the same. They are not the same physical beings that we are now. Although I don't think that they look like aliens or anything of that nature, but they're not the same because they've been given a new heavenly glorified body. Now, I want to prove this. Pastor, how can you prove this? All right, here's how. Let's go to St. John chapter 20. Everybody following me tonight? I know I'm moving fast, but I believe that I'm lining up everything I'm saying in the scriptures. All right? Now, St. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week," underline this, "when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." Everybody's Bible, read that. Look at this. "Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." So we understand, beloved, that when Jesus came to earth, that Jesus was also given an earthly body. He was what's known as Jesus Christ, the incarnate Christ, which he was human and divine at the same time. If you cut him, he would bleed just like we would. If you hit him, he would hurt. If you cursed at him, it would hurt his feelings. And so he had the same body that we had, because the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ was familiar with all of our temptations. There's not anything that we'll go through that he have not experienced on earth. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the same change had to happen to him. Everybody following me? And so when Jesus died on the cross and went back to be with the Father, he got his new glorified heavenly body. And that's why the scripture teaches us in the book of John that the disciples, after his death, they were all scattered and scared, and they were shut up somewhere in a little room, and the Bible says with the door being shut. So how in the world did Jesus get in there if the door was shut? He had a heavenly body, which is not limited to earthly limitations. So this is kind of funny, but I'm going to walk, and I hit the wall. I can't walk through the wall, because why? I got an earthly body. But in my heavenly body, I'm not limited to earthly limitations. So I'm able to walk through a wall, if there is a wall there. I'm able to do whatever needs to be done because of the dimensions of my new heavenly body. And so that is the same body that Jesus has, is the same body that we'll have once we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, or once he returns to get us. Everybody following me, everybody tracking. All right, now, let's go back to Revelations 21, and I'm going to share with you exclusively tonight about the New Jerusalem. I had to lay a foundation first, but I wanted to share exclusively about the New Jerusalem. All right? Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. 9 things that we, and this is long, but I will repeat it. 9 things that we can anticipate in the New Jerusalem. In other words, 9 things we can look forward to, 9 things that will be taking place in what's known as the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse number 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And so we understand that at the end of time, God inevitably have already created what's known as a new heaven and a new earth that will obviously be different than the earth that we are on, because remember, this particular earth will be destroyed. Everybody follow me. The Bible says the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And so on this new heaven, we don't have to necessarily worry about having to survive with water, because the sea is one of our key survival points. But we'll have our new glorified heavenly bodies, where we're not dictated by how much water we have. All right, so here are some things that we'll see in the new heaven. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Look at this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." So that's the first thing. In the New Jerusalem, the first thing that we look at, there will be no more death. Now, I want you to understand that death is a spirit and it's also an angel. But the spirit of death and the angel of death will have no more jurisdiction in heaven. They will not have authority in heaven to operate as they do. How many of you have had a person that was close to you, or you've seen death on a person? How many of y'all have smelt death? Death has a smell. You can smell death. And what you're smelling is a spirit. It's a spirit that's been given authority in heaven to take life away that God has given. And it takes it at different times. Oftentimes, it's commanded by God. There's this time and a season for everything. We're given a time to be born and a time to die. And so God have already ordained when we die and the time that we're supposed to die, God will send the spirit of death, and the spirit of death will take our life and give our life back to who gave it to us, which is God. All right, now, when you are a believer, death has what's known as a sting. But when you're a believer, the Bible teaches us that death has no power over it, and the sting of death is taken away from him. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:54 real quick. Let's go back there real quick and look at 1 Corinthians 15:54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?'" And so the sting of death is then removed from the spirit of death, because even as believers, although that death hurts us, the power that death has no real power over us. And so we don't call them funerals, we call them homegoings. Praise the Lord. Because in all actuality, that person, that body, or that spirit has gone home to be with God. And that's why believers celebrate at funerals and non-believers cry. They cry because they don't understand the concept. Yes, you love grandma and grandma was the wondrous person. You're going to miss her apple pies, but grandma's in a better place. You know, grandma is, and we don't understand that. And so death does not have that sting over us. But in heaven, death has no authority because we will be with God for eternity. And so death does not have jurisdiction, because if it did, that means that eventually these bodies that he gives us will die, and we will not die. Number two, "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are taken away." So number two is no sorrow, crying, or pain. In the New Jerusalem, there'll be no bad emotions. How many of y'all get emotions? Emotional. I've talked to people that are emotionally hurt, emotionally wounded, but you won't have that in the New Jerusalem. There won't be any sickness. There won't be any tragedies. There won't be any heartaches up there. All of these things that we know in this earth will pass away. Now, we will be in the joy of the Lord 24/7. And the only time we see crying is at this particular scripture, and this is just my personal insight. It's again, I try to give you my personal insight outside of scripture, so I'm stepping away from the Bible, giving you my personal insight. I believe because God will allow us to see those people that are being cast into the lake of fire. And we will actually see those people be sentenced to spend eternity in the lake of fire while we're in the presence of God. And it's going to hurt us so much because they did not do what was necessary to live right and live for God. And maybe even some of those people we may know. But God will, I believe, will allow us to see that. He will give us a glimpse of that. And then I believe because of the power of the resurrected body that we'll have, He'll erase that memory from our minds. Because inevitably the joy of the Lord is in heaven and there's no need for us to suffer or worry anymore. Now, the third thing that we'll see is found in verse number 8. But to the fearful, unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, white liars too. Y'all know people that color their lies. They got black lies, white lies, but they're all lies. Shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second thing we will, third thing we can anticipate is there will be no sin nor traces of it. So those that indulge themselves in sin will not be in the New Jerusalem with God. This is why the scriptures make a clear distinction here. There are many people that we know that are participating in the activities that we mention here in the scripture. And if they do not get it right, they are destined to spend eternity separated from God. That's why I'm so adamant, church, about the type of music and the type of movies and the type of people that you associate with. Because if you see you're associating with people that are doing these things, then they are inevitably having a destiny that means that they're going to be out of the presence of God for eternity. You listen to these music awards and you see these people like Alicia Keys and all these big time singers. The first thing they get up there and have the audacity to say is, I want to thank God for helping me do what I did. But what they did had nothing to do, it doesn't glorify God. And so you're going to sit up there and say, I want to thank God for helping me be a whoremonger, fornicator, a liar, and an adulterer, when that's totally against the word of God. And so these people, if we're not careful, we will get these songs in our spirit and get these things consumed in our flesh. And then if we're not careful, we'll pick up these same traits that the world has when the Bible makes a clear distinction. Unbelievers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire. Number 4, verse number 11 says that having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Number 4 is, it shall be lighted by God's glory. So in the New Jerusalem, there'll be no need for electricity. All right? The glory of God will be shining, and it will light the entire place up. The glory of God, what's that, Pastor? The glory of God is similar to the rays of the sun. When you have those sun rays beaming down, it's not the sun that actually give light. It's the sun rays that come out from the sun. And that's the same as the glory of God. It's the glory of God. I'm in Revelation 21, verse number 11. Everybody with me? Okay. It's the glory of God that come out, and His glory is what's going to actually light the place. So for those of you like me that don't like paying the Dominion bill every month, you won't have to worry about that once you get to heaven, because there'll be no need for electricity. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, God made electricity anyway, and man's just marketed on it, so we don't have to worry about that. All right. Number 5 is found in verse number 12 through 17, and it will be huge. The new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth will be huge. Listen to this. And had a great wall, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Y'all heard that song, 12 gates of the city? 12 gates of the city, 24 angels of the city. You know, that's what that means. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. In other words, the length of the city is as large as the width of the city. And with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and breadth of the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is an angel. So when John was receiving this revelation from the angel, he actually found out how big, he got some realistic measurements of how large heaven was. And so I've translated them for you. Say thank you, Pastor. All right, so the wall of the city, each one of these walls that are surrounded, that are enclosed with three gates on the north, the west, the east, and the south, those are about 70 yards high. So if you can imagine a football field is 100 yards, so 70 yards is pretty big going straight up. That's very large. So you're probably looking about large of a very huge skyscraper. That's about as large as the gates. Now the breadth and the width of it, they said that 12,000 furlongs. And so what that is translated in averages about 1,500 miles. So it's about 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide. That's about how big the New Jerusalem will be. It'll be the city of God, and it will replace this earth, and it will be where we will dwell with God for eternity. Now, let's look at St. John 14 real quick, because I'm also connecting scriptures that you've probably heard over the years, and I really want to connect them. Is this helping any of y'all? I hope it is. All right, now, you've heard this scripture read at funerals. St. John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Listen to this. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so what we have here is what Jesus is doing right now is Jesus is preparing mansions. And so when we get up there in New Jerusalem, we will all have a mansion. Now, we've seen some of the most elaborate mansions all over this. You know, Bill Gates has a big mansion. I'm quite sure Warren Buffett has a large mansion. The President of the United States has a big mansion. But these mansions that are in heaven will outdo every last one of those. And that's what Jesus said. He's preparing a mansion for each one of us. And he said, if it wasn't true, I would tell you that. And he said, I'm going now to prepare a place for you. So everybody in here tonight that's listening to my voice, and everybody that are listening to this by audio, he's going to prepare a mansion for you. Now, it'd be horrible if it's vacant because you didn't extend the invitation. You know, if that mansion that the Lord built for you, and I believe that everybody has a mansion up there, but if you didn't accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you won't be able to occupy the mansion that Jesus built. All right. Now, let's go to verse number 6. Go back to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse number 22. Now, as you read down through verse 18 through 21, I didn't get into this, but there's a lot of jewels that the gates will be made of. The Bible talks about that the 12 gates are made of pearls, real pearls. It talks about the streets are paved with gold, and it gives all of these different types of descriptions of how the New Jerusalem will be. And people are experiencing things similar to that now in paradise, known as heaven. All right. Verse 22, the Bible says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." And so there'll be no church. That excites some people that don't want to come. I'm being humorous, but there will not be any churches in heaven because there's no physical There is no need for a physical building anymore. And so what we do down here, we worship God in spirit and in truth, like we were doing tonight. We were worshiping the Spirit in the presence of God. We can't tangibly see His presence. We can't tangibly see Him with our own naked eyes, if you will. But His presence is here when we worship Him. But nevertheless, once we get to the New Jerusalem, we will have God Himself and the Lord Jesus Christ to worship, so there won't be need for a church and to contain His presence in a building like we do now. Number 7, verse number 24, and all the nations of them which are saved, I want you to underline that, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And so number 7 is there will be unity among those that were saved. And so we'll see in heaven, we'll have all nations, all creeds, all people worshiping together. There will be no variance or preference of nationality. The whites won't have their section. The blacks won't. We won't have black church in heaven. Hello. We won't have white church in heaven. That's why on earth, pastors that are really sensitive to the move of God, they don't build their church after a particular nationality. Those of you that are members here and those of you listening to audio, this is not a black church. Yes, I'm a black pastor, but it's not a black church. And so, you know, that's why we don't come in here and do every Sunday, can't nobody do me like Jesus. You know, that's why you see different types of multicultural, ethnic worship songs, because we have to worshiping God. Mexicans need to come in here and feel comfortable worshiping God. Why? Because it's the same way in heaven. And I caution pastors that model their churches after a particular nationality, because that's not how heaven's going to be. If you're curtailing your church to have, you know, 3 hymns, a choir, and, you know, a drummer and a Hammond organ, then that's primarily a typical black church. And that's not what God's about. I'm very cautious about pastors who try to make God a black thing, because God's not a black God. Everybody needs help. I know we've been in the struggle. I know that we may not have been treated right over years to come, but all that don't matter. All that's under the blood, and God's given us victory, whether we're black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise. So we have to be careful that we don't get caught up on earth on movements that are strictly geared to one type of race, because I don't believe that's acceptable in the eyesight of God. God loves everybody, and we have to make sure we show that same love as well. Am I doing all right? All right. Number 8 is found in verse number 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And so number 25, there will be no night. All right. And so it will be day all of the time. Remember, we will be in eternity where time is no longer measured as man measures time. We have to remember that God's timing and man's timing is different. And so the way that we count hours and we count minutes, is not the same way it'll be counted in the New Jerusalem. I don't even think we'll have clocks up there. You know, the Bible sings a song, Amazing Grace, and they talk about one of the verses, when we've been there 10,000 years. And can you imagine 10,000? We can't even imagine 5 years. We can't even imagine 7 years to get our credit cleaned up. You know, but you know, 10,000 years being with God, that's, you can't even fathom that. And your body doesn't get old. You know, I just turned 32. I'll be graying up soon and all that good stuff. But that won't happen with my glorified body. And, you know, it'll never go out on you. You'll never get arthritis. You'll never get tired. It'll never be nighttime. Somebody's shouting about that. Don't have to buy no more Miss Clairol or none of that stuff to color your hair, because your hair will stay the same color. Praise the Lord. All them folks will be out of business in New Jerusalem. Won't be a need for a weave shop or a wig shop or none of that. Praise the Lord. Now, and finally, number 9 is found in verse 3 of Revelation 22. If you read the whole three verses there, which I'm not for the sake of time. It says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And so in number three, we see that there will be pure worship at the throne of God. And that's what I wanted to do this evening. We did it beforehand, but just experience what it means to purely worship God. And, you know, that's why I'm very adamant as a pastor about praise and about worship, because we're not just a church that's routine and just does things. You know, I don't care how many people are here. I don't care if we got five. I don't care if we got a church full. We still need to give God reverence, and we still need to worship him in the beauty of holiness. And if we can't get worship right down here, God knows how we're going to get it right up there. You know, you get some people that they get in God's presence and they, Lord, when they going to stop? And they done played the song three times. And that's all you're going to be doing in the New Jerusalem is worshiping God. So if you got a problem with that down here, you're definitely going to have a problem with it up there. Amen? Well, I trust tonight, saints, that I've given you a good, clear understanding of eschatology, the doctrine of last things. And I trust that you'll be able to take this teaching and you'll be able to listen to it time and time again. And it will answer all of your questions that you have concerning eschatology, the doctrine of the last thing, and of course the new heaven and the new earth known as the New Jerusalem. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord tonight as we worship him.